Let's get serious here to discuss it with me. I have Anthony Randazzo from Reason Magazine. Anthony, I was just speaking with our correspondent, Lauren Lister, and we were saying first people initially pointed fingers at Greece, then now they're pointing fingers at a B instead of an M, a little technical glitch. Do we say, though, that one thing really is more at fault than the other? Could a little technical glitch really have caused this big of a drop?
And not the whole drop. I mean, in theory, a glitch like this could cause a whole drop, but today was actually a combination of probably some kind of technical error and what's going on in Europe. And it's not just Greece, it's all of the European debt problems. It's Spain, it's Italy, it's Portugal. It's the fact that there is this fear of some real contagion spreading out of Greece and particularly into the Greek and into the German and French banks. And so you have this fear. The market was already down a couple hundred points by the time this happened. And you have this, and it all comes together, and it didn't completely recover. It's a combination of the two things. What we can take away from this is that really this recovery is not built on any kind of a stable platform. That's the key lesson to take away from today, is that we really do live in some uncertain times and there's nothing stable moving forward yet.
Well, you're right in the sense that the rest of Europe also is tackling debt problems right now, and many people say that Greece is really just the tip of the iceberg, and the euro hit its lowest point in 14 months. So what do we say is next? Is the entire EU, their entire monetary system at risk?
It's at risk. Nothing in the short term is really at risk. Countries abandoning the euro and going back to their own currency, that would be an incredibly complicated process, and it would take years to set up. But their conversation is beginning now. That conversation was not taking place 6 months ago. The idea that Greece would leave or that another country would step in and begin, like Germany would go back to their own currency. The fact that that conversation is going on does mean it's at risk. What the euro really does have a problem with is it's no longer the second reserve currency of the world anymore. It's not going to be. The dollar's back to being preeminent. You're not going to see Saudi Arabia talking about switching to selling in euros. You're not going to see China looking to dump a whole bunch of dollars and go to euros. The euro's been shown to be really unstable in its first major test.
It does seem to be that those glory days for the euro are over here. But I also want to speak about the dynamics, we could say, between the U.S. and the euro, because when it was the U.S. who was at fault for bringing down the entire global economy, you could say in many ways that the Europeans, snubbed their noses at the U.S. And so now we see the opposite happening. So how is the U.S. going to react?
Well, I mean, we live in a globalized economy. And I wouldn't quite say that this is Europe bringing down the world. This is a simple fact that the entire world is connected. And you're going to see the Asian markets open up, and they're going to suffer from what's going on in Europe right now. If you want to talk about dynamics between the U.S. and whether or not they're going to be blaming European governments for this, sure. I mean, you can blame the Spanish government and the Italian government and the Greek government for years and years of terrible management of their money. But then we just got to look back at ourselves and go, we're not exactly doing that much of a better job. So sure, you can point fingers today and say, today was the fault of Europe, but tomorrow we need to look right back at ourselves, and there really shouldn't be any finger pointing going on.
Well, I'm happy you mentioned that, because you're right. The U.S. is also in massive debt that most people are calling unsustainable, and they are pointing fingers at the moment, but it's clear that we're not necessarily doing the best money management job here ourselves. So should the U.S. take this as a lesson to be learned and, I don't know, see if they can use Greece, unfortunately, as an example to look at?
Sure, I mean...
of what not to be?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to see a riot of what was going on in Athens today in Washington, D.C. I don't think you're ever going to see that. But you do see marches all the time. You know, whether it's the Tea Party or whatever other sort of rallies around the country getting together, it's probably a little bit more civil version of what's going on in Greece right now. It's people standing up saying, hey, we're not going to take this anymore. And so politicians, they're the ones that need to take the lesson here and say, look, you're going to get kicked out of office. You're going to be voted out of office if you actually don't get down to brass tacks and make some hard cuts. Of course, on the flip side, the question is whether or not actual citizens will accept those hard cuts. You see in Greece, unions saying, we will accept no more pension cuts. We will accept no more pay cuts. Like, all right, how are you going to solve your debt problems? Because your government is completely fiscally unsustainable right now. There have to be cuts.
Well, everybody always wants the problem solved as long as they don't have to make any sacrifices themselves. But I think it is really, it's a scary time. And luckily, we haven't seen anything get to the extent that we have in Greece. Here in the U.S., we never saw anybody storming the banks on Wall Street and setting them ablaze. So hopefully that won't ever happen also. Anthony, thank you so much for being here.